All right, amen. Look down at verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men." Now, obviously, warning them that are unruly is part of our job as believers, right? We want to make sure that there's brethren in the church that are unruly, that we warn them of the chastisement to come. But it also applies to the world, right? We are also commanded to warn the world and the people that are unruly out in the community. And you say, why? Well, one, in hopes that they could be saved. And two, to warn them of the wrath to come. Right? We're also told in the Bible to charge them that are rich, you know, to not be puffed up and to not be high-minded. But the whole point of that being is in an effort to support the weak, the feeble-minded, the people that cannot necessarily defend themselves. The Bible is very clear that this is a very hot button with God, supporting the weak. It's a big deal. It's very, very important. And the reason why I bring that up is because of the title. So the title of the sermon this morning is A Warning to the Bullies of Boise. A Warning to the Bullies of Boise. Now, I changed the sermon that I was going to preach, and I had to preach this just because of an incident that we went through yesterday as a church out soul winning. I think it's important to call people out. Now, I will say this as a disclaimer before we get started. No matter where you go soul winning on this planet, there will be bullies. There will be people that come out of the woodwork and try to stop the efforts, right, to try to intimidate people, to try to run you out of town. I mean, that's what you read in the Bible. Okay. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. It's going to be the same thing. Look, I've been attacked, not physically, but, you know, I've been bullied or had people attempt to bully me here, Sacramento, Vancouver, Tacoma, Port Orchard, Washington, a town of 15,000 people. Like I said, in Japan, it doesn't matter where you go. It's going to happen. Okay. But we need to know how to deal with these people. And so really the topic of the sermon is the value of supporting the weak, right? This is what we are commanded to do. We need to learn how to do this. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of roll off of a couple of things that I talked about last week with the children of Amalek, right, the Amalekites. And we're going to review that spirit that they had amongst them. We're going to talk about that and how it applies today. But I want to start off with a story real quick about bullying. So it was several years ago. I think Kylan was 4 years old. I was getting ready to go to my first trip in Japan. Right, and Jessica was getting her hair done at the mall, and so you know how the malls have these big play places, so I brought the kids over there to entertain them, and Caden's doing what he does, climbing up things and jumping off and, you know, just being a boy. Well, there was these two little kids, I want to say they were probably about Kylan's age, and Kinley was about 2 years old, right? Just, you see how much red hair she has, that's how much she had back then as well. Well, these little kids, they kept going up to her and, like, touching it and stuff, and you know, oh, that's so pretty. I want red hair. And Kylan had come to me a couple times and said, "Daddy, they're messing with Kinley. They won't stop talking about her hair." I was like, "Okay, well, just be careful, right? You know, just watch them." Well, as time goes on, they keep goading her and keep, you know, messing with her. And finally, they take Kinley over to this little corner where there's this padded, like, rock cave thing, right? And at this point, I can see the look on Kylan's face. She's had it. She's like, "I'm done with this." So they take Kinley in the corner, and then they start pulling on her hair. And I'm like, "Okay, well, I just want to see what happens here," you know, being a good dad, right? So I'm watching Kylan. I'm like, "I'm not going to stop this just yet," because she's just got this look on her face. And I'm like, I've seen that look on adults before. And I'm like, how is this going to play out? Well, Kylan goes like this. She looks this way. She looks that way. And she goes like this. She puts the fist up, right? So I had been training her since she was very little, you know, to attack other people in our family. Not violently, right? But just playing around. Right? I'd be like, "Kylan, show grandpa your combos." And she'd go like this, right? And she'd walk up to him and just, you know, throw a little punch. It was really cute and just hilarious, right? Well, this day, it was still cute and hilarious, but it just, probably not the best choice that, you know, that I made as a father. So she does this look, right? And I'm like, "Oh, no. I've seen that look before," right? So she walks over there. She doesn't say a word. She walks over to these two kids. Bam! Just cracks one right in the face. And she grabs this other one, right? She's got an open hand strike. She says, "Boom, boom." She's just wailing on them. I mean, she is just beating the tar out of these kids. And then Kinley's like, "Oh, this is what we're doing." And she starts doing the same thing, right? And then the mom just flips out. And she's like, "What are you doing?" She's just like screaming. And I'm like, "Hey, calm down," you know. And I get calm. I'm like, "Good job, Kai," you know. And I take him and we leave. And I go wait for Jessica and I tell her the story today. So, so that's what happened that day. And yeah, so guys, you can keep your mouth shut with stuff like that. See, time heals all wounds. Okay, but the reason why I'm telling you that story is because that's what bullies do, right? These kids were older than Kinley. They wanted to be like her. They wanted what she had. They knew that it wasn't possible. And so instead, they decided to take on this envious attitude and try to pull her down. And that's what the main theme, the main thought, the bottom line is for today. And it's this: bullies try to drag down the weak and the feeble because the weak and the feeble are above them. See, Kinley was content, obviously, just being a kid, just having her hair color or whatever. These kids weren't. Right? They knew that she was different, and they were like, I guess I can't have what you have. I can't have that hair color. I can't have that contentment that you have. And so I'm just going to try to drag you down to my level. I'm just going to try to make you pay for this, right? And that's what bullies do. And so with that in mind, we're going to use this person as an example, basically, for the rest of the sermon. This guy, his name's Kevin Rhodes, okay? And we're going to talk about him all morning long because he deserves it. So yesterday, we're out soul winning. And as, you know, sometimes this happens, right? We're knocking on doors. So the ladies are knocking on these doors. They don't even get to this guy's house, okay? And this guy comes out and he starts trying to intimidate them. And he starts trying to bully them and get them to leave because he doesn't like the fact that the sheer number of them has woken up his dogs. Now think about that. Do you guys know what type of people that are overly zealous and affectionate towards animals are? Okay. Now, I'm not saying he's a sodomite, but he certainly has displayed those characteristics, you know, to where you're going to literally go outside and try to start a fight with women and children. Now, I will bet my last dollar that this individual looked outside and saw how these ladies dressed modestly, being humble, trying to preach the gospel, invite people to church, taking care of their children, and seeming content with that lifestyle. I'll bet you it drove him nuts because this person is a fraud. He is a complete fraud. Right. He's a politician, by the way. A low-level devil, if you will, a low-level politician. But you know what? This guy ran for Congress and actually managed to scrape up like 27,000 votes in this community. Yep. And so because he's a public figure, he needs to be called out. Amen. He needs to be exposed. You know, he gets on our Google account yesterday and leaves us a one-star review talking about how we're going around intimidating and bullying the community into receiving the truth, which is obviously a lie. Because what do we do when people aren't interested in what we have to say? We leave.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to leave the entire complex, okay, but I'll leave your door. And just remember as we go through this, nobody knocked on this guy's door.
Right?
And he went to the women first, and then he proceeds later on, I hear, to actually start creeping around the dumpsters and to try to follow them, to continuously harass them. And by the way, he touts himself as a professional mixed martial arts fighter, retired. So let me ask you a question. What does a politician of the Republican Party, somebody of influence, somebody who is trying to lead people in this community, what business does a person like that, who also apparently has a mixed martial arts background, what is a person like that doing going around trying to bully women and children?
Right. Yeah.
Don't tell me that these things don't need to be called out, because they do.
Amen.
And we're going to make sure that this individual doesn't win any election.
Amen.
We're going to expose this guy, and I'm not done after tonight. Or after this morning, it's going down. I'm not going to take this. This is wrong what he did, and it needs to be brought to light. So I'm going to read you a little bit about his biography. But before I do, so after he proceeds to try to bully the ladies and the children in our church, right? Brother Jeff and David see him, you know, sneaking around doing his little troll tactics, right? And they go and confront him, you know, and rightfully so. You know, what man wouldn't want to protect his wife and his kids? And so they go up to this guy and he starts touting, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of God, I'm a Bible believing Christian, and that whole nine. And by the way, when you check his Facebook profile, his biography online, right, I'm a conservative Christian. He's got it all over his Facebook page, all over his Kevin Rhodes of Idaho page, right? I'm a Christian, right? And so he starts to tell these guys that, and he's like, you guys need to leave because you're soliciting, which isn't true, by the way. We're not soliciting. We'll go over that later. And he then all of a sudden decides he's going to flip out.
Yep.
And he starts dropping F-bombs and talking about how he's going to drop Brother David.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll drop you. You know, and he's wanting to get our names. Which, by the way, if you don't know this, you don't have to give anybody your name.
Right.
Anybody tries to, you know, give me your name. No, I'm not going to give you my name. You can give them my name. I don't care. You know, they'll get it either way.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get the phone number. Trust me, they'll get the phone number. But he then goes on like this 4-minute tirade, and we've got the entire thing on video of this guy completely freaking out, using F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. Keep in mind, this guy's a supposed Christian, a man of God, somebody who exposes false prophets, okay? A professional mixed martial arts fighter, which is a joke and a fraud, by the way.
Right.
I mean, this thing, you can't make this stuff up. If I was looking for a fictional story, I would not be able to make this one up that we're going to go over today. It's that good. Okay? So, I want to read to you what is taken off of his biography on his political Facebook page. He says, "Hi everyone, I'm Kevin Rhodes, conservative fighter. I'm a retired professional fighter, small business owner, program director for the March for Trump team, former 2018 Idaho Republican Party District number 17 nominee for Idaho State Representative, and conservative activist." Is that how conservatives around here activate? Is that what they go and do? They go around and bully women and children and cussing them out?
Yeah.
And then going around telling people that they're going to drop them?
Yeah.
Because we have Bibles?
Right.
And we have invitations to church? Is it really that threatening?
Yeah.
Are you going to die because I came to your door and knocked on it and tried to give you an invite? Will you die? Has anybody ever died from that? No, but the community sometimes sure believes that's the case, don't they?
Right.
But this guy thinks he's some kind of a hero. Oh, I got to stop these ladies, I'll knock them out, man. And these guys, I'll beat them down. And by the way, if any adult wants to see the video before Caden edits it, just let me know after the service and we'll show it to you, okay? I don't want the kids to see it. They've already heard and seen the incident by themselves. And by the way, what do you think about that? What do you think of little Uriah and Jerry being exposed to this type of thing? Watching a grown man threaten their mother and threaten their father and church members.
Right.
How do you think that affects those kids? Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from soul winning, right? Our kids just need to know that there's danger out there. Our kids need to realize that, because then they can look and say, that's somebody who's bad. That's somebody who I do not ever want to be like.
Yeah.
And so they do get the education from that. But what kind of mentality, I mean, where did respect go?
Right. Yeah.
What kind of mentality does a person really have to have to where you're going to say these filthy, vile, wicked things in front of our children?
Right. Yeah.
And then you're going to have the gall to go run for political office?
Yeah.
I don't think so, and I'm not going to let this stand. This isn't over.
Amen.
This isn't over. I'm going to make sure that this guy pays the price for what he did.
Yeah. Good.
So he says, "I'm running for U.S. Congress, District 02. On an America First platform to fight for Idaho and help restore America to all of its strength and value." Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. We're done with 1 Thessalonians. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 25. And he goes on to say, America First means ending illegal immigration, restoring the American family unit. This is great. What do you think about this? Let's say we start a class here called Restoring the American Family Unit. And I stand up here and I teach you how to go and cuss out women and children in the community who are holding Bibles, going around trying to invite people to church and get them saved.
Yeah.
Does anybody in here think that's a great idea? Is that family oriented?
No way.
I don't think so. Am I crazy? Prioritizing American workers first. So this guy apparently owns a window tinting company. And it was this window tinting company. Somebody left a review on our Facebook page. It was like Boise window tinting or something like that. And it's written like it's his employee. Some of you guys think it was actually him. And actually, after reading about this guy and judging his actions, it probably is him that wrote it in the third person or whatever. But if you read the reviews for his business, like, they're terrible, right? I couldn't read them, but he had a pretty bad review, right? Was it like 1 stars just all over the place, right? A lot of 1-star reviews. People just saying that he's a fraud,
yep.
Right? So this guy needs to be put out of business. This guy needs to be, I mean, look, this guy shouldn't even be considered eligible to run for anything.
Right.
He shouldn't even be considered eligible to run down the street.
Yeah.
Ending abortion, protecting gun rights, finish building the wall. He wants to build a wall around that apartment complex to keep our church out. Okay, I wonder if that's what he's talking about here now. Ending the forever wars. KevinForIdaho.com. Okay, so, and then the stats. Gender, male. I think we need to cross that out and write coward, fraud. Family, two children. No wife. Wonder what's up with that. You can't even rule your own house? What, you know, what's going on? I don't know. Birthplace, Seattle, Washington. I won't hold that against him because I'm from Washington myself. But, you know. Home city, Boise, Idaho. Religion, Christian. Christian, man of God, Bible-believing, born-again believer. He told us, and I think it was in the video, right? I don't watch it like three times, but I've been so, I'm so mad I hear like every other word, you know. But he keeps saying, like, I preach the words of Jesus, right? Isn't that what he said? I preach the words of Jesus. I preach the words of Jesus. The next words out of his mouth, bleep you,
yep.
Right? Just filth, just the most vile things you could think of, right? I'll drop you. Touch me and I'll drop you. Yeah, we carry King James Bibles into these neighborhoods because we're going around looking to street fight people,
yeah.
Right? You see, he has perceived us as being weak, right? Kind of like we talked about on Wednesday. You know, or maybe it was last Sunday, right, about Jesse Ventura's attitude about, oh, religion's a crutch, it's for the weak and the feeble, and, well, yeah, we need help, we need a savior. Amen. But these people sometimes, these bullies in the community, they see us and they're like, okay, these are religious folks, right? Yeah. They're harmless, they have to take everything that I dish out at them, you know, and they have to turn the other cheek. Look, we have a right to defend ourselves, and that's the last thing that we want outsoning, because even though we could be, we're definitely going to be right, if they attack us, it still brings a negative light, right? Yeah. So at all costs, we want to avoid any kind of physical confrontation.
Right.
But the way some of these people are going today, it could someday come to that, unfortunately. And again, we don't want that, but that's not the goal. We're trying to get people saved.
Amen.
We're trying to preach the gospel. We're not out there looking for a fight. But this guy, you know, after David's trying to calm him down, Jeff's trying to calm him down, he's like, raise your hand at me 2 more inches, I'll drop you. I'll drop you. I'll knock you out. By the way, like I said, this guy's a fraud.
Yep.
And his mixed martial arts record is a fraud as well.
That's right.
I think he's had 5 fights.
Yeah.
All losses, first round stoppages. And the one victory that he has, it says injury. And it's because the guy got hurt and couldn't continue.
Yep.
I promise you, he couldn't beat anybody in this church. Not even close. Not happening. And it's like, you have to be careful living in this puffed up fantasy world that you make up.
Right.
Because you don't know who you're talking to anymore,
yeah,
these days. You know what I mean? Like, he thinks he's talking to weak people. What if he would have attacked David? He would have got lit up like a Christmas tree. What if he would have attacked Caden? He would have got slam dunked on his head and lit up like a Christmas tree as well.
Yep.
Any one of these guys.
Right.
You know, and Caden's 16 years old. But that's the mentality that these people have, right? I mean, if Caden was there, he would have said he would have dropped Caden. Right? Him and he's arguing with Jeff, and David's like, I just want to show you the law. I just want to show you the law. I just want to show you the law. And he's like, I'll drop you. Right? And David's like, you're going to drop, or Jeff's like, you're going to drop me? He's like, no, the little bleeper, you know, in my peripheral, talking about David.
Yeah.
Think about that. And this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah.
Now, it happens less here than it does in other places that I've been. Right? And again, I'm not trying to scare people. We need to continue on. We need to go soul winning. In fact, we got somebody saved right after all of this happened, right? Because we don't back down. We don't quit. We're not looking for physical altercations. We're looking for somebody to be saved. And so when this happens, almost every single time, without fail, somebody gets saved, okay? Anytime somebody comes out and they follow you, you need to realize there's somebody around here, maybe somebody across the street. There's somebody in the vicinity within this time slot of soul winning that can be saved.
Yep.
Because the devil's out there, man, working overtime, and he doesn't want people to get saved. And so he releases these people, I believe, and they go around and they try to intimidate, they try to attack, they try to stop and bully us from our mission. So real quickly, 4 more things that he's got on here. He attended business management at Boise State University. Doesn't say he has a degree or anything like that. Member of Idaho Republican Party, present. Candidate, United States House of Representatives, Idaho District 2020. Candidate, Idaho State of Representatives, District 17B, 2018. So this guy won't stop. He's still actively trying to seek office. And you know, I wasn't going to preach this. It wasn't until he left that review and we started looking into this, who is this guy? how could somebody be so stupid to leave us a one-star review with their business account? First of all, that's dishonest because you didn't come to this church and actually try things out.
Right.
I mean, you should actually experience a business before you go and leave them a review, unless they want to be like that, whatever. I mean, that's dishonest, you know? And if you read his review, it's ridiculous. It's nothing but lies. And we've got the guy on video for crying out loud. It's such a slam dunk deal. I'm going to make sure that his Republican cronies see this video.
Right.
Now I'm going to make sure his enemy Democrats see this video as well. We don't need people. Look, I'm not trying to get involved in politics, but we don't need people like this in office. We don't need people. There's already enough of them like that are higher up, right? We don't need any more. And if we can stop one, let's do it.
Amen.
Let's make sure that this guy is ineligible to further run for office. Look, I don't even think you'd see Joe Biden. I mean, he'd be sniffing your kids, you know, but he's not going to try to fight the, you know, women and stuff. So it's like, how bad really is this guy? Okay. All right. So like I said, you know, this sermon's important because we need to realize that God is very, very adamant about protecting the weak and the feeble. We talked about this a little bit last Sunday morning, but we're going to review it. So you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 25. And so the reason why I brought you here last week was to explain the question in Exodus 17. After the children of Israel defeated the Amalekites, remember it says that the Lord would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And we went to Deuteronomy 25 to explain what that means. Why did God say that? Why did God tell Moses, hey, I'm going to blot these people out forever. I'm going to completely wipe them out. You know, it's important for us to understand what is the attitude here? Why is God doing this? You know, that should raise a question in your mind to want to know these things and to know what really ticks God off. And I'm telling you, it's because they were bullies, because they attacked the feeble, because they attacked the weak. And that spirit and that generation lives on today and attacks people all over this world. And we went to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm just going to read that for you. You don't have to turn there. But it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Why does it say thou shalt bruise his heel? Well, the heel is behind the foot. These guys, these devils are like ankle biter dogs. I said that last week, right? They like to attack from behind.
Yep.
That's what the Amalekites did. That's why God hated them. And yes, I'm saying God hated the Amalekites. I'm not saying that we're Calvinists and he designed them so that he could hate them. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's because they made the choice to become wicked and to become evil and to prey on people that could not defend themselves, that God said, you know what? They aren't going to change. I'm going to have to destroy them from the face of the earth. So with that in mind, Deuteronomy 25, look at verse 16. It says, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. Now, why is it that God wants the children of Israel to remember what Amalek did? For education purposes. Because it involves safety, right? When we understand how these bullies operate, we can keep ourselves safe. We can protect the feeble. We can protect the weak. We can protect our church members. Verse 18, it says, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee. What does that mean? The back part, right? That which was behind, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint in worry, and he feared not God. So the first point that I want you to understand this morning is the spirit of Amalek is a bullying spirit, and it's operating in every community today, attacking the weak and the feeble. That spirit is alive and well today, and we unfortunately have to deal with it. We have to cope with it. We have to learn how to operate and fulfill our mission as Bible-believing Christians with that going on. Now, you can keep your place there, but turn to Exodus chapter number 7. Not Exodus, I'm sorry. Turn to Psalm chapter 74. Psalm chapter number 74. And so a bully is just somebody who tries to seek, intimidate, or coerce somebody who they perceive as being vulnerable. And that's what this guy, Kevin Rhodes for Idaho, did yesterday. He saw a group of ladies and small children and said, you know what, there's somebody that I can feel good about beating. There's somebody I can feel good about attacking and coercing and bullying. And I can make myself feel good and go inside my house and drink my Ovaltine and pet my dog for the rest of the evening. And that, my friend, is what these people are all about. What they want to do is take people who are content in whatever so state they are and drag them down. But it didn't work. It didn't work because we didn't stop. I think we continued on probably for like another hour yesterday, didn't we?
Amen.
Listen to this here. I'm going to read this here. And so, like I said, you know, most sections of town are going to have somebody like this in them. But this guy's a whole nother level here, right? I mean, just the fact that he's a public figure, and a bad one at that. He's never going to win an election, even if we don't expose him, okay? Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. The way people are and the way the propaganda machine is today, you know, anything can happen. But I do want to mention something about his character here. So I went to votesmart.com or something like that, and I read his biography, and I read his voting records, and just different things about him on there. And they said that he failed, basically he failed to provide honest answers for his agendas regarding politics. And it says this, it says, when asked, Kevin Rhodes said about abortion, so they asked him this, do you generally support pro-choice or pro-life legislation? Now, when I started the sermon, I was reading to you from his Facebook page, he had listed abortion on there that he's against that, right? Well, what this website did is they went to his Facebook page and they pulled that and they gave him what's called an inferred position because he wouldn't verbally say it. He wouldn't verbally come out and say, yes, I'm against abortion. I'm really pro-life like a Christian obviously should be. And so they failed him on that because he just wouldn't answer the question. So they gave him an inferred position, which means this. This candidate refused to address this issue, but VoteSmart inferred this issue based on the candidate's public record, including statements, voting record, and special interest group endorsements. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Why won't he just come out and say, you know what, I'm against abortion, here are my plans? Because it's not in season. That's why he's a false prophet.
Yeah, right.
That's why he's a bully.
Yeah.
That's why he's an Amalekite. That's why,
yeah.
I mean, you can't really get much more of a bully than attacking a child in the womb, can
right.
you? And this guy is obviously a bully. And so why wouldn't he be for abortion? It's something that he can implement. It's something that he can back. It's something that he could glory in. Killing innocent, unborn children?
Yeah.
That sounds to me like Kevin Rhodes. Why not? You say you're railing. No, he's a fraud.
Right.
He won't directly answer the question.
Yeah.
And this is a person who wants to be in charge, who wants to represent the people of Idaho. It's despicable. So here's what we do about this. Psalm 74, look at verse number 18. He says, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached. This is why on our prayer list, sometimes we put people on there to be exposed,
right.
to be brought to light. Right? I think we just put that on the prayer list last week, right? Or a couple weeks ago, to have God expose these politicians around here. And
right.
guess what we're doing this morning? Exposing a politician. This one was like spoon-fed to us. This is great. This is excellent. But we need to remember, that is the key here. Remember what they have done. And do accordingly, right? Go to God. We ask God for help to expose these people. You see, unfortunately, what the world does and what most of Christianity wants to do is just love them to pieces. Right? Just love these people to pieces and they'll change. Right? They'll say, you know, a kind or a soft answer turneth away wrath. Just give them a soft answer. Well, I'll show you the video from yesterday. And David, you know, he was giving them soft answer. The ladies gave him soft answer. Even Jeff didn't attack him, gave him soft answer. And guess what? It did nothing. Because this guy is not somebody who can be reformed. He's not somebody who can grasp truth. I believe wholeheartedly this person is a reprobate. How else could you portray yourself and say, I am a man of God, I speak the words of Jesus, and then say the things that he said to us?
Right.
It is impossible, my friend. It's not going to happen. He basically called us accursed. He's like, you're preaching a false gospel, just like you don't even know what we're preaching. It's ridiculous. Look at verse 19. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. You know, we need to remember the poor. We need to remember the feeble. We need to remember the weak. And we need to pray for them and pray for us like we did before we even started the soul winning journey yesterday.
Right?
We prayed that God would keep us safe from these people. And you know what God did? He allowed us to be able to videotape and expose this guy.
Yep. Amen.
Verse number 20, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. So look, all I'm saying is that you're always going to run into these habitations of cruelty. This person is a cruel person. He is merciless.
Yep.
If there was no law enforcement, I believe he wholeheartedly would have attacked the women. Physically. I believe that. If we weren't there, I believe he would have attacked the women. You know, this is why I say, you know, from now on, I realize Boise is the safest place I have ever lived. You know, I leave money and stuff, my tools in my van during the work week unlocked and nobody's ever messed with it. Now, obviously, there are some places here I wouldn't do that. But, you know, by and large, most of the places here, it's pretty safe. But this is a very rapidly growing area, a very rapidly growing city. And this is why I say this, ladies, if somebody invites you into their house, I don't care if it's just one lady, you need to stop right there and say, hey, hold on. I don't mind coming in if you feel comfortable, but let me call the pastor. Let me call my husband. Let me call somebody and let them know that I'm here, but just in case. Just in case there's somebody else in there waiting, right? They would think twice about doing that. Because I go into people's houses. Jessica and I went into somebody's house on Friday. Typically, it's not a big deal. I've never had this issue, you know, where it's turned into something. But it could happen. And you're better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And with these bullies out there, with these habitations of cruelty in our community, we need to do all that we can to make sure that we protect ourselves. And that's just something simple that I think I recommend. I need us to do that, okay? You ladies need to do that. I mean, just a couple Thursdays ago, who was it? Kinley? Those kids that were like, or those young guys that were like, oh yeah, well, we'll listen to you. Why don't you come in? And they're like salivating, right? Yeah, yeah. See, you know, the girls obviously, you know, church members have a lot of discernment, you know. And I think it was Kinley and was it Kara? Kara Bear, Kara? Yeah, they knocked on this lady's door or this guy's door, right? And they're like, yes, we'll listen to you. Why don't you guys come in? And they're like, no. They got a feeling something wasn't right, you know. And that was the right thing to do. In fact, if a guy, I don't care what, a guy, you know, offers you ladies to come in, don't do it. Or at least come get one of us. If you, you know, it's like, well, it looks like a harmless guy, fine. Stop what you're doing and say, sure, no problem. And come get me or come get Brother David, you know, Jeff, somebody who can go in there, you know, two guys to go in with so that we have some witnesses, you know, because there's safety in numbers.
That's good.
And, you know, these people are out there. Now go back to Deuteronomy 25 real quick. Go back to Deuteronomy 25. These people are out there, and we need to remember them. We need to remember them before God when we have our prayer time, because this is what keeps us safe. Ye have not because ye ask not, Jesus says. You say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, you know, sometimes it's because they didn't ask. You know, sometimes God's people just don't pray. They get complacent, and they just start thinking, I can go through life. I can go through my trials. I can go through my tribulations all by myself. That's not what you read in the Bible. That's not what you read here in the Psalms. There are people out there hell-bent on being cruel.
That's right.
And our protection, our safety is of the Lord. And so we need to remember these people and bring them before God. That is the answer to dealing with these bullies, okay? Now, to further back that up, look at Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. Same concept here. Look at what they say, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. This is what we do. We remember their deeds and we mark these people and we avoid them. We mark and avoid them. See, the world's got this, you know, oh, well, they can just be corrected and they can just go to therapy. And you should, you know, the church is a hospital and you should just let them come in even if they don't agree and even if they don't believe. I would never let that guy come in here. He's not stepping one foot inside this church, ever. I don't even care if he apologizes. I've seen his true colors.
Right.
We've seen his true colors, right? Why does God continuously say, hey, remember what Amalek did unto thee? Remember this, because when you forget, you get complacent, and complacency leads to conquest for the enemy. Destruction, that is what will happen, okay? So mark and avoid these people. Look at verse 18. We'll look at point number two here. Look at verse number 18. It says, remember what? Well, right here, verse 18, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. This is key here. These people that love to attack the weak and the feeble, that love to go from behind to the vulnerable parts and attack these people, they have what? No fear of God. It should be a fearful thing for a normal human being to say that you're a Christian, to say that you're a man of God, to say that you speak the words of Jesus Christ, and then proceed to violate little children's ears, and to threaten people with violence. I'll knock you out. I'll drop you. Raise your hand 2 more inches. I'll drop you. In front of Uriah. And it wouldn't have mattered which one of these children were present. He would have done the same thing. What did Jesus say about somebody who would offend these little ones that believe in me? Millstone around the neck. Someday, Kevin Rhodes is going to be begging for that millstone. He's going to be saying, you know what? Hey, that millstone sounds pretty good right about now, because these flames are too hot. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So that's point number 2. Bullies like Kevin Rhodes have no fear of God. So with that in mind, are you going to try to reason with them? Initially, because you might not know, like David's trying to read him the law, just read him the simple ordinance. And you'd think that somebody, and we didn't know this at the time, but looking back, it's like you'd think that somebody who's a politician, somebody who wants to run for Congress, would be kind of interested in what the law says.
Right.
Don't you think that would be kind of a good idea?
Yeah.
Look, I told you, you can't make this stuff up. A politician who wants to define law and ordinances as he goes along. Because David's trying to read him this law, and he's just like, no, soliciting is what you're doing. So bleep you, soliciting is what you're doing. He's just completely belligerent. I mean, it's amazing to me. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter number 17. And I just can't get over this. Right on his Facebook page, Christian, conservative, family values. Conservative fighter, right? He's trying to pitch himself like, well, I was a professional mixed martial arts fighter, and so I'm going to take that same energy and that same attitude, and I'm going to bring it to the political arena, and I'm going to fight socialism and communism and injustice. But meanwhile, I'm going to be over here cussing out the little kids, right? I'm going to be over here just cussing out these ladies, because that makes me feel good, because I realize I'm a dirtbag and I can't really fight. You know what? I've said this before. People that can really scrap, guess what they don't do? They don't go around bullying 4-year-old little kids and women.
That's right.
And people with King James Bibles in their hands going around trying to invite people to church and get them saved.
Right.
Did you know that? They don't do that. You're not going to find Khabib going around and do it. You wouldn't even find John Jones doing that. Or that other vile person, whatever it was, Israel.
Yeah.
Adesanya. You probably wouldn't even find him going around doing that if you knocked on his door. You probably just maybe slam the door in your face or whatever. I who knows, right? But these people are really professional when it comes to that. And you know what? They're not going to jeopardize that by picking on church people. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Exodus chapter 17. Look at verse number 13. Because again, say, well, what do we do about people that don't fear God? What's the solution here? How do we treat them? What's the answer? Do we just back down? Do we just leave? Because obviously that's what the Mormons do. I mean, think about this. There's a Mormon tabernacle, temple, whatever you want to call it, in just about every subdivision in this whole area, right? And you can't tell me that they've never gone to this apartment complex before, because we see them all the time. So obviously, a lot of these other groups, they tuck the tail and they run. And when he saw we weren't going to run, boy, that devil came out quick. The devil came out quick. But here's the solution. So same story here. We talked about this last week, the Amalekites. How did the children of Israel beat them? Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with what? The edge of the sword. What did Paul tell the Corinthians? The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. That's right. we're not going to use physical violence. We're not going to use knives, swords, guns, whatever the case is. And I'm not against, you know, defending your property, defending yourself, somebody breaks in, whatever. That's another sermon for another time, okay? But what I'm saying here is we're going to use the Word of God like we always do, and we're going to keep using it despite the attitude of these bullies, despite their efforts to shut us down. You know, so they think, oh, well, I'm going to bring your Google rating down, and this church has only got a 3.1 on Facebook. No one's going to attend there. You know what? Most people that scroll Google Maps or Facebook and look for a church with good reviews, they wouldn't like our church anyways.
That's right.
Because we're not going to pull punches. Right. So we're never going to have a good review.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people out in the community that are going to come here and stay here and stick with it and be a disciple and, you know, be part of this family and this local body are going to be people that see how we really are
right.
when church is over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that lady that I got saved yesterday. You know what? She could go online and read our bad reviews, but she's going to know this is a joke.
Yeah.
These people didn't bully me.
Right.
They asked me multiple times, if I'm interested, then I'll show you.
Amen.
We're not trying to go out there and put our foot in people's doors and just cram this down their throat. We're only looking for people who are interested. Because guess what? When they're not interested, they're just going to placate you, and you're wasting your time.
Right.
And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And that is exactly what we will do. Turn to Psalm chapter number 36. Psalm chapter number 36. You know, you gotta kind of ask yourself, what do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to this guy at the great white throne judgment? Because that's where he's going. This guy's past the point of salvation. I'll tell you that right now. Be like, you tried to attack the feeble. You tried to attack some of the ladies that were there as silent partners that were praying for people to get saved. They were being quiet. They were just minding their own business. And you wanted to go out there and try to bully them around because a little Fido, your little puppy, woke up from his little nap. You stinking, gutless pig coward.
Yep.
Psalm 36, look at verse number 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. You say, why is it that somebody could act in such a vile, filthy manner? It's because there is no fear of God before their eyes.
Yep.
Kevin Rhodes has zero fear of God, and we're going to make sure that the entire Republican Party knows that. Because they at least try to pay lip service to God, don't they?
Yep.
And even some of the Democrats do.
Yep.
And we're going to make sure that they know how this boy really is.
Yeah.
Verse 2. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes
yep.
until his iniquity be found to be hateful.
Right.
And that is what we, you know, they want to accuse us, oh, Shield of Faith Baptist Church is a hate group. These people are crazy. Isn't that what that stupid girl said yesterday?
Yeah.
These people are crazy. No. Somebody who would run for office and say they stand for family values and then go around and cuss out families
yeah.
and little children is somebody who is full of hateful iniquity.
Yep.
Verse 3, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit.
Right.
He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He has left that. He has departed from that. And that's a fact. This everything that this guy does is a fraud. He even changed his name on his window tinting website and left himself a good review because he was getting so many bad reviews. Look at verse 2. For he, what?
Wow.
He flattereth who? Himself.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
This guy, Kevin Rhodes for Idaho, is a living example of Psalm chapter number 36.
Yep.
You are seeing the Word of God come to literal visual life before your eyes.
Yep. That's right.
He flattereth himself in his own eyes. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. Don't look at my record. And let's not forget the fact that there was no such thing as amateur and pro, right? Back when he was apparently fighting, if you could call it that. He's not a pro like what you think pros are today.
Right, no.
Any high school wrestler would mop the floor with this guy. Anybody with just some sanity. In fact, most of the ladies in this church, you probably don't realize, they'd probably knock them out. Probably just completely buzzsaw them. I like to get Kylan and Kinley on them. Right? These guys are nasty. Well, verse 1 again real quick. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. And that's what I see with this individual. That's what I see with these people that bully. And we've seen this before. They all have the same attributes in common.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, every time.
Right.
Right? The local, what do we call them? The local Barney Fife, right? The guy who takes it upon himself, well, I'm law enforcement. You can't knock on any of these doors. It's like, do you even have a job? You don't own all of these doors.
Right.
You don't pay the, well, this is private property. Everything's private property. You know this right. building we're in right now? It's private property. Somebody owns it.
Yep.
Right. Wherever you guys sleep at night, guess what? That's private property. Somebody owns it. So what? We're just never supposed to knock doors?
Yeah.
It's absurd. Look at verse 4. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. Oh. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. He doesn't hate evil. He loves evil. He loves
right.
to hurt people.
Yeah, right.
That's what he does. And you know what? He was laying down on his bed with his little puppies, right? And my little doggies. Probably just feeding them little biscuits and just thinking about our church. I can't believe those people. I can't believe them. I'm going to do something. You know what? I'm going to give them a one-star review. That'll do it. That'll show them. You know there's coming a day we're going to have a one-star review? Just kind of like flying under the radar right now. Turn to Proverbs 16. Because you know what? People are always going to view us as weak.
Right.
Because we don't want to play their game. We're trying to get people saved.
Amen.
It's like how many people have just keeled over dead because we walked up to the door of the Bible? Oh. In fact, some people, I think on our Facebook, one lady wrote, what'd she say? She says, this church keeps trying to kill my friend because they walked onto his property without a mask. Shut up. Get out of here with that. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So what is the answer here? Well, by mercy and truth.
Amen.
Right? Not using necessarily carnal means to attack these people. And again, I'm not against self-defense. Not at all. But the battle is going to be won through mercy and truth. Through us having mercy on the community. You know that most of this community is weak. I don't care if they can. I don't care if you knock on some guy's door and he can bench 1,000 pounds. If he's not saved, he's weak.
Yeah.
He needs somebody to protect him. He needs somebody to show him the truth of the Bible to get him saved.
Right.
That is our mission, to support the feeble and the weak, to show these people how they can be made strong in Christ. But you have these bullies that want to go around and prevent us from doing that. And you know what? The answer to that is mercy and truth. Iniquity will be purged. We're just going to keep doing what we do. And these people will be purged from culture eventually. Now, obviously, it's not going to get, great. We're not going to start the millennium early. I'm not saying that. But these people will be brought to light. And other people will see that and say, okay, you know what? That was a good thing that they did. You know, this guy is probably 10 times worse when no one's looking than we even think he is.
Right.
And we could be saving lives by waking people up to his hateful iniquity, double-tongued, false prophet, reprobate mind.
Right.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And then we're going to go to Nehemiah. We're getting close to being done. Ephesians chapter number 6. So again, dealing with people that do not fear God out in the community. A warning to the bullies of Boise. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is how we show mercy. This is how we preach truth. And this is how iniquity gets purged. Because think about it. When somebody gets saved, all their iniquity is purged. God, he washes that away. It's a done deal. New person born inside of that individual. And then the enemy loses. Kevin Rhodes lost yesterday, like he's used to doing.
Amen. Yeah.
Like he is used to doing. Because think about it. If he had his way, He would have sent us packing so that we couldn't knock on another door in this community. Look, these are the types of politicians that we really, I mean, if we can catch them at this low level and stop them from getting into office, this is a victory for all of the Treasure Valley.
Right.
This is a victory for the entire state of Idaho.
Yep.
Because this is somebody who wants less government, somebody who wants, you know, family values and peace and less wars, but you're going to go around and try to stop a local Baptist Christian church from preaching the gospel to people. And like I said, this is a heavily Mormon community. We don't like their message at all. We hate it. But it's like, how are you going to get away with that attitude with all of them?
Right.
Because they do go out and knock doors, and even they're not going to put up with that. It's ridiculous. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. And we'll take a look at this third point. Nehemiah chapter number 4. So we've talked about this recently as well. You know the story here. You know that Nehemiah was given permission. He was given resources. He was commissioned to go out and rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall, rebuild Jerusalem. And as the story always goes, when you get a commission, you get a mission statement from God. You go out there and you start to do what he says and to preach the truth. Opposition springs up every single time, right? And that's what we're reading here in this story. Chapter number 4, look at verse 1. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat," bad guy, "when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." This guy, Kevin Rhodes, is pretty much a Sanballat. That's what he is. He's a modern-day Sanballat, a Tobiah, somebody who is trying to stop us from building the kingdom of God. Verse number 2. "And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews?" So you need to understand his mindset here. What is his mindset regarding the Jews? They're feeble, right? They're weak. And so I'm going to do what? I'm going to mock them. I'm going to bully them. I'm going to pick on them because they can't do anything about it. What's God's attitude regarding them? He hates it. It's a passion. "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" That's kind of like this guy, right? You know, "What's your name? I want your names. I want your names." You know, just like, "Well, what's your name? You know, what are you about?" He's like, www.bleepview.com. Same attitude that Sanballat has. Verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." And so here's another thing we need to understand about these bullies. And that's point number 3, is they like to solicit help from like-minded people to kick the weak and feeble while they are down. See, the Jews, they don't have the resources that they used to have during this time here, right? They've got some provision from the king. They've got the permission, right? They got just enough to get the job done. Sanballat and Tobiah, they see this, and they're like, "Well, you know what? We can really just surround these guys because they're weak, because they don't have an army with them. They don't have that same power that we read about in the days of old, and so we can easily defeat them. We can easily do this." And so what they do is they go around and they talk about this and they try to rally people around to help make the issue even worse, right? I mean, spiritually speaking, these guys are kind of down right now. They're having to build while looking over their shoulder, which is never easy to do. And sometimes that's how we feel out soul winning, isn't it? Especially after something like this, you know, you can be a little gun shy, you know, the next few doors, like, man, what face am I going to, you know, speak to at this door? Right? And keep in mind, these things are pretty spaced out.
Right.
That's why we preach so many sermons about strengthening the brethren, strengthening the body of Christ, so that we can endure this type of persecution. And that's low level.
Yeah.
That's nothing like the persecution that we read is going to come.
Right.
So think about that. This is why we need strength. This is why we have to be strong. Now, does anybody have that soliciting ordinance on them? Do you got that in your Bible?
It's in my
car. Is it? Okay. Anybody else got it? I was going to bring it in, but I forgot. But I'll just loosely quote it. So, you got it? Yeah, could you pass that up to me? I wanted to read that here. So, point number 3 is this, that these people like to solicit help by recruiting like-minded people, right? So this guy leaves this review on Facebook, apparently, and then our enemies from like 2 years ago all of a sudden come out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, this church is bleeping crazy. These people are terrible and, you know, saying all this stuff. It's like, I thought you were done with this. Like, we almost got into some legal trouble with them a couple years ago. Yeah, and you would have lost because, again, they threatened us. In fact, the entire Boise Bench Facebook page with thousands of people on it got shut down because they were talking about how they're going to hose us down. That when they come to my door, I'm going to get my shotgun and I'm going to blow them away.
Yeah.
We've got your names. We've got the screenshots and we're never getting rid of them. So if you try anything, we will bring that up in court and you will lose.
Right.
People are stupid these days. I'm telling you, these people are absolutely ridiculous. So, let's see here. Do you have the one with the definition of soliciting by any chance? It is in your car. That's all right. Don't worry about it. It's all right. So, like I said, this guy leaves us a bad review, right? And he doesn't care at all about the law. What he's doing is he's trying to rally the community. This is the whole reason why they go onto Google, why they go onto Facebook, is because they're seeking like-minded people to try to intimidate us and to try to kick us down because they're not strong enough to attack us. It is hard for them to kick against the pricks. They know in their hearts and in their minds and in their consciences that what we are doing is commissioned by God, and it really bothers them because they're not content in the state that they're in. That's why. That's exactly why they do this. And so, you know, here's the thing. The soliciting ordinance, it says something like this. It says that, well, let me put it to you this way. Let's say that Monday morning, tomorrow, I go downtown and I try to apply for a solicitor's permit, like he said that we had to do in the video, right? Do you know what would happen? I would not get it. I would not get that solicitor's permit. And you know why? Because we are not selling anything. When you read the definition of soliciting in Boise, and it's the same in Meriden, you got it?
It's on part two of that.
Of this page? It's not on here. But the definition says, do you got the definition? Yeah, here, bring that up to me. Come on up here. There we go. She's going to try to beat me later. All right, here, let me see. Yeah, I can't read this. Sorry, here, pass that back. I'll just loosely quote it for you, all right? So the definition basically says that soliciting is when somebody is going around door to door trying to get a donation immediately or in the future, or selling services and goods, okay? We aren't doing any of that. In fact, everything in this church is free. Now, don't take the chairs and stuff. Like, obviously, it costs money. But you get what I'm saying. All the stuff over there is free. The soul winning stuff is free. All those clothes, the blessing rack in the back. All of that stuff is free. All the food, the coffee. We don't charge people for anything here. Right? And when we go to somebody's house, we are not asking donations. We don't accept donations. You know, somebody's like, here, I'm going to give you money. I'd just be like, you know, if you want to donate, go to the website. That's not why we're here. So we are not selling anything. And the definition even says in which a reasonable person would understand that they are here requesting a donation of monetary value. Our message, look, we are not soliciting, we are visiting.
Right.
We're just visiting. And if you read these pages here, which I've given some of you, a lot of you, these Supreme Court decisions, you know, even the Supreme Court has defended our rights to go and visit people.
Right.
I want you guys to understand there is nothing illegal about going around door to door, inviting somebody to church, trying to make friends. Is it illegal to try to make friends?
No.
And that's what we are doing.
Amen.
That's all that we're doing.
Amen.
Because we want our friends to be saved.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. So we are not soliciting. We are not doing anything illegal. Kevin Rhodes wants nothing to do with any of that definition because he knows he's going to lose.
Right.
And he knows he's a devil and a piece of trash. Now, I took this from his speech that he gave in 2018. So I just want you to listen to this here. He says this. Our country was founded on the principle of a limited constitutional federal government. You guys understand what that means, right?
Yeah.
He wants less government. But yet he wants to stop our Christian church, who preaches the free gift of salvation. He wants us to be eradicated from society and to not have the right to be able to do that. But yet here he's saying our country was founded on the principle of a limited constitutional federal government. This means the role of the federal government is meant to be limited to a few well-defined and enumerated tasks. All other powers supposed to be left to the states and to the people themselves, this principle is made clear in the 10th Amendment. In recent years, the political parties have brought more and more policy decisions to the federal level, attempting to solve every problem with a national policy. The problem is that the people and the states have different values and beliefs about a great number of issues. In reality, there is no reason we all have to do things exactly the same way in every state, county, or community. That's what is great about a constitutional republic. People can be tolerant of each other, and we can all do things our own way. Here's the problem. We have a commission from God. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, making disciples. So even if the city ordinance was against what we do, we have a greater authority, which is the Word of God, the Bible, which allows us to be able to do that. I would rather obey God than men. But here he's paying lip service to us having freedoms and having the right to do things our own way. That's what he just said. Our country is more divided today than at any other time, perhaps since the Civil War. This is a direct result of politicizing each issue and then elevating it to the federal level. We need leaders in Washington who can step outside party politics and return our country to its constitutional roots. Did you know that we have a constitutional freedom to be able to speak freely? Yeah. And you know what? That includes being able to go around and invite our neighbors to church. Yeah. Without having to get a permit.
Right.
This isn't Japan. This isn't some commie country, at least I hope.
Yeah.
It's definitely headed that way.
Right.
Especially if people like this sneak in to an office position, right? He says, we need leaders in Washington who can step outside party politics and return our country to its constitutional roots, a limited federal government which guarantees basic human rights to all its citizens. Basic human rights. I think a basic human right is for our women and children to be able to go out freely without the fear of being bullied by some punk window tinter. Some dog biscuit munching, fake MMA fighting, pot belly pig loser.
Right.
What did I just say? All right. But otherwise, defers most policy decisions to states, communities to decide for themselves. Well, this community has decided a long time ago that what we do is perfectly legal. Not that we care, because we're going to do it anyways. Do you hear me? We will do it anyways. I don't care what Comrade McLean and Lisa Commie Sanchez and her buddy Jimmy Halliburton have to say. They can go to hell.
Amen.
Because we're going to keep preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Without masks. Unless you want to wear one, that's fine. That's your business. I don't care. You know, there's some communities around here where I probably will wear a mask to go knock on the doors, because I just know how the people are, okay? So I'm just angry. But these commies aren't going to stop us. I hate commies.
Amen.
The passion.
Amen.
A strong passion. I can't stand it. And now I'm not saying I hate the commies in China that just have no control. I'm talking about the people who push that ideology.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Because it's an anti-Christ ideology.
Right.
Kevin Rhodes is a commie.
That's right.
He's a commie. He's a devil. Amen. Jeff called him a devil and he freaked out. But it's the truth. He's a devil.
Amen.
You have to be a devil to go out and attack women and children.
Right.
I mean, get real. Go back. Are you still in Nehemiah?
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm done ranting here. Let me figure out how to apply this here. All right. Verse number 4. Here's the application for that. This is what you see Nehemiah doing. Work and pray. Work and pray. Look how he deals with this here. Look at verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Now you go and read that to some new evangelical Christian today, and they're going to say, well, that was probably taken from Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. Maybe that was from the Ku Klux Klan manual. No, that's the Bible. And that's how Nehemiah dealt with this. Look, people like Sanballat and Tobiah and Kevin Rhodes and these other bullies of Boise, they can't be changed. They're devils. They're done. They're past the point of instruction. They're evil.
Yep.
They're wicked.
Right.
And cover not their iniquity? You mean to tell me that Nehemiah, the man of God, is telling and asking God, not telling but asking God, to not cover their iniquity and to expose them? and to bring them into captivity? And cover not their iniquity, verse 5, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Work and pray. And we need to make sure that we are praying the correct way. Now, look, I'm not saying that everybody who's against us is a reprobate, because even Paul the Apostle was against the early church, right?
Right.
He was against them, and he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And so there are still, I believe, some of those people out there, but not this dude. Paul didn't go around cussing out women and children, right, even in his strictest of Pharisaical days, right? Where do you read in the Bible that he went around bullying and cussing out little kids? You don't read that. It's not in there. Look at verse number 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And this is why church is so important. You need this strength from each other, from the Word of God, from prayer, and from learning the Bible, right? So that you can continue to work and to pray and to have a mind to work. And we have a church that has a mind to work. And we want to keep it that way so that these people out there don't win. Don't get their way. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And so with that being said, you can expect people like that to sometimes do the same exact thing. Oh, they're still knocking doors, huh? Still out there preaching that false gospel? We're going to rally up. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Verse 11, our adversary said, shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. So everybody gets involved here. Everybody. Because they have a mind to work. That's the point. That's how we defeat these people, by continuously edifying one another, instructing people, and building people up so that we can all fight appropriately, properly. We work and we pray, but it's more than that. We pray the right way. We make sure and say, you know, ask God to help remove these people from our lives,
right,
however he sees fit to do. Verse 14, and this is what I'm going to leave you guys with almost. Look at verse 14. It says, And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and for your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Turn to Mark chapter 9 and we'll be done. Mark chapter 9 and we'll be done. And so here's the warning to the bullies of Boise. You know, you guys need to realize that our God is great.
Amen.
And he is terrible.
Right.
And not terrible like he's a terrible, like, oh, it's terrible. No. His wrath is frightening.
Right.
His wrath is going to make your ears tingle. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. This coward, I won't even call him a man, this coward, Kevin Rhodes, fulfilled this verse yesterday.
Yep.
He offended women, he offended children who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did. By violating their ears through the filth that came out of his mouth. Not just the words, it's what he meant by them.
Right.
Threatening to knock people out, to do physical harm. If that's not an offense, then I don't know what is. Now, I get it. We use these to talk about pedophiles, right? Because that's pretty obvious.
Right.
It's pretty obvious. But it goes beyond that. You know these Sunday school teachers, these false prophets around here, they want to teach, repent of your sins, and do works to be saved? You know what? They offend little children as well.
That's right.
And you know what? We're all God's children.
Amen.
Think about that. We are God's children. He offended us. He offended me.
Yeah.
He offended Jeff. He offended David. He offended everybody who went soul winning. He offended all of you that didn't even go and couldn't go yesterday. Because we're all one. Well, we're all part of the same body.
That's right.
So what do you think is going to happen to this guy? This is your warning, bullies. You guys need to realize, these people just think, oh man, I got the right for you to never come on my property and never come anywhere near me, never come anywhere in my neighborhood. Well, I got a warning for you. And that is, hell's hot.
Yep. Amen.
Hell's forever.
That's right.
It's painful. In fact, for some of you bullies, it's so bad that I believe you will literally be screaming from those flames. Cast me the millstone.
Yeah.
I believe that the people in the lowest hell and the people that are just burning down there would love to be pulled out and just over and over again be chucked off a boat with a millstone around their neck and dragged to the depths of the sea where the pressure is so great that their head explodes. Think about that. The Bible's saying that that is better than the torment and the eternal punishment that awaits them. Verse 43, look what Jesus says. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Some people read this and say, see, if you don't have the works, if you don't get rid of your sins, then you're going to hell. That's not what it's talking about at all. What is the one thing, what is something that is keeping you from being saved?
Right.
You need to get rid of that and get saved. Because if you don't, then you're going to hell.
Right.
Where their worm, their body, he's saying, dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. And I was thinking about this when I was reading this last night. And I think about Brother Skulk making them steaks. His South African carne asada tacos, right? And, you know, sometimes we go out there and we'll just watch him. You know, he's happy cooking those things. And I'm thinking, man, that meat's roasting real good.
Yep.
And you know what? The fire's not quenched when he's cooking those steaks, is it?
Nope.
The meat's roasting. Did you know the people roast in hell?
Yep.
So while he's cooking those steaks, the fire's not going out.
Amen.
It's going good. It's cooking that meat. It's roasting it, right? Think about if that was an eternal thing and then there was a body in there. And it's never going out. What does that tell you? That these bullies are going to roast in hell.
That's right.
Forever and ever. And you know what? I'm not trying to glory in that. It doesn't make us happy. Obviously, we'd rather see these people saved at some point early on in their life before they get to this level. And keep in mind that this Kevin Rose guy, he's on a different level, right? He's not just your guy that gets mad because you knocked on their door and they're like, I'm atheist, and they slam the door. We don't know anything about those people.
Right.
10 years from now, 5 years from now, you never know. You catch them on the right time, they might listen to you and get saved.
Right. Yeah.
Right? But you know what? Those people aren't going around bullying the weak and feeble.
Right.
Women and children who can't defend themselves. That's despicable to God.
Right.
And you know what? These people, they've got another thing coming to them. And we need to realize that. But you know what? We also need to make sure that we don't let that bog us down, that we don't let that get us down and get us scared.
Amen.
Right? The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth.
That's right.
You know, well, this community is filled with people that are just constantly fleeing and fleeing and fleeing. Oh, well, the CDC, oh, well, these people said this, I gotta go. And they're just freaked out all over the place. We live in a land of cowards. They call this the Treasure Valley, right? They should call it the Coward Valley. It's sad, but it's true. You know, these bullies, all they are just a bunch of cowards.
Right.
They know right now it's in season to pick on God's people.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get a little bit worse. But you know what? We're not going to let that bother us.
Amen.
And we're going to warn these people, you know what? You better just stop. Because the person who commissioned us to do his work is coming for you. So let's remember that and let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for protecting us, Lord. Thank you for the salvations that you've allowed us to partake in. Just pray for this church, Lord, that you would continuously strengthen us, continue to help us grow and to go out into the community, Lord, and to further preach the truth no matter what the opposition is, Lord. Just pray you would remember their deeds, Lord, and expose them and remove them from the equation, Lord, that we might get more saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.